Firstly, Dharamsala, you know, over now 57 years, this is my permanent residence. So I welcome my home. Thank you. My second home. First home, Tibet. India, now second home, and Dharamsala, as I mentioned earlier, 57 years. 59 reached India, political asylum, and 1 year I stay at Mussoorie. Then May 60, I shifted here. Government of India chose this place, not me. So we little complain at that time because see, we felt this is a little bit more isolated. Mussoorie more closer to Delhi, more easier. Nowadays, facility much improved. Air service, daily basis. So now, see, okay, no problem. So in any way, firstly, I welcome as this is my home. And secondly, I want to sort of express my greetings Himalayan Club Samurai. So Himalayan I think the physically Himalayan mountains and also beyond Himalaya, Himalayan mountain, Tibetan plateau is source of all major rivers which cover, for example, Yellow River in China, through China, and then Mekong River through Vietnam, all these things. Then Brahmaputra, and then Gangas, and then Khasachuti, Indus, through Pakistan. So I think the Himalayan sort of area is the source of major rivers, which I think over a billion human beings' life depend on these rivers. Then I have also now. I want to share with you one of my sort of responsibility given by late Khasa Bahuna. You see, he gave me some kind of almost as a responsibility. Whenever you visit this area, you must tell preservation of forest or Himalayan range should not deforest. So in some extent, I do that. So you, as a sort of Himalayan club, I think not only climbing the mountain, but also, you see, telling whenever you visit in this area, you see, local people, they're taking care about environment. And also, so I, from time to time, I'm telling Khasachuti, Shinsuya,
to plant trees in the Himalayan regions.
Like that. So, what do you want to say?
To us.
And any questions? Please sit up. Oh, here. Exchange. First, I put my neck, and then perhaps like this. Oh, some dirty things from my neck return now. Please sit down. You see, no need for formality. I always say acting completely informal way. So, Because so I believe, my fundamental belief is, we are same human being, mentally, emotionally, physically. And I sort of share, try to share with other people whenever I sort of have opportunity to talk. I always see emphasis. I believe 7 billion human beings. You see, actually, human brothers, sisters, no differences, and difference of nation, nationality, different color, different faith is secondary. When we born, same human children, you see, same human milk, and we survived with our mother's milk and mother's care, or parents' care. 7 billion human beings, same. That's a fundamental thing. And furthermore, I think a lot of problem now these days, particularly these days, every day news, some problem. Killing. All this secondary level of due to secondary level of differences, different nationality, different system, different religious faith. So the remedy, this problem, is we must go to think or go to deeper level, we are same human being. We have to live on this planet as a human being. Humanity, human brothers, sisters, with human brothers, sisters, that spirit, much better. I feel, I convinced that's the only thing, only way to reduce man-made problem. I think religion, pray, I think fail to bring peaceful world. Now we must work through education, through awareness, through vision. Consider entire 7 billion human beings, same human being. Everyone want happy life. No one want suffering, problem. So, copied way of thinking. I want happiness, do not want suffering. So, rest of the 7 billion human beings, also it's the same feeling, same right. Then, if possible, serve other people, help other people. If not, at least restrain harming other. And then, happier world can develop. Not just technology on these things. Technology, very good. Technology provides us physical comfort. But Lord, because the best facility for physical comfort, but mentally full of anger, full of stress. Individual person himself and then herself also will not be happy. I think high position, even I think the president or king or say the leader of nation, a big name, I think including America, the president of the, I think, because of the most powerful and the most sort of the, because of the leading nation of free world. Of course, I never met, you see, because of President Trump, sorry. No. But judging his face, seems not very happy. Whether the sort of leader seems, you see, or people who have some inner peace, then automatically, their face also something different, isn't it? So like that. So that's my, I said, the commitment till my death. Now 82 years old. Maybe next 10, 15 years, I may be more active. After that, too old. So, our generation, very important. Now tell people what's wrong. So many problems besides nature disaster. The global warming, due to global warming, now nature disaster, I think, will increase. Some Japanese? Oh. So like Tokyo and some big city eventually may submerge. Kasa. Right. And India, Calcutta, and some city, big city. Oh, maybe eventually. And Shanghai. Because you see, sea water now increasing. Oh. So I am one sort of, Irish ecologist. He showed me one article wrote by one Chinese ecologist. That mentioned, that Chinese ecologist, through many decades, he observed, Tibetan area. So then he found the effect from Tibetan plateau towards global warming. He found effect from Tibetan plateau as much as South Pole and North Pole. So he described Tibetan plateau as third pole. So you see, you people, this is some connection with the Himalayan range. Please, you see, pay more attention about the Kasoda. Preserve or special care about ecology in Himalayan. At this site, free. So you can do more so freely, more easier. The other site, the system, something different. But I think particularly Indian, you see, have certain right, you see, to show concern about Tibetan ecology, because river which come from Tibet, see, Indian use this water. So you have some certain right, you see, to express your sense of concern about ecology in Tibetan plateau. Okay. Yes, now questions. And questions, rather, you see, I prefer, you see, some discussions. Sit. No formality. Okay.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of the Himalayan Club, this is a momentous occasion, beginning of our 90th year. With your blessings and good wishes, we read your message, which was very thoughtful and considerate. Just wanted to make a couple of comments. You mentioned about the Himalayan region, the roof of the world. Our very famous Sanskrit poet, Kalidasa, has also called it a manadanda. And that manadanda, according to me, is core values which should also be associated with the Himalayan, which has taught us. There's courage, optimism, perseverance, patience, and most of all, purity. These values are today still being practiced and propagated by people like you. We have had sages, we have had saints, we have had lamas, we have got rishis who have written a lot, but somebody who lives those very values in a living fashion, such as yourself, we are very thankful that you are carrying on this rich legacy for all of us. Those who love Himalayas love also these values, and that's what we are grateful to you to propagate. Thank you very much. I don't want to say anything more. We have some questions which we have sent earlier.
Yes, yes.
Kindly be good enough to
yes?
respond.
Ram Lada, right? Lada. Lada, you can hear it. Which part of Lada?
Nubra.
Nubra?
Yes.
Suppose I think this summer I may go Nubra.
Yes,
Holiness. Tisu Rinpoche and also Tisu Rinpoche invited me. Good. Yes.
My name is Nandini. I am asking you a few questions on behalf of the group.
Okay. Yes. The first. You see, prepared question, and also you see, without prepare, just because of that spontaneous question, also welcome.
Yes.
Now, 10:30, no problem. Yes.
What is the quality or gift of mountains that draws us to them, not just for sport, but spiritual refreshment?
Spiritual air. I don't know. The mountain appears at particularly with snow. Beautiful. But actually, if we try to live there, I think very difficult. So now, me, when I was young, in Kerala, I reached India at 24 or 25, then early 60s, I'm quite young, so I climbing these mountains. In Tibet also, this is some I sort of entourage, some officials, you see, they describe me.
Those officials used to tell His Holiness that he actually runs uphill like mountain goats. Or
so they cannot sort of
keep up with him.
Catch up. So I love, you see, climbing mountains like that. Now that gone. So mountain. I don't know. I think the Gyengsorji, such a Gyengsorji.
So these the mountains are like ornaments of the land.
Oh. Then the Himalayan mountains, I think both Tibetan side as well as Indian side, and Nepal also, I think. And through centuries, many spiritual practitioners, you see, remain these remote mountainous area. Some occasion, Mahakumbh Mela, I met some sadhus, completely naked. And I was told some of these remain whole year in Kasota, snow mountain, without sort of dress. So that shows they have the experience of practice of Chandalini. You know, Kundalini, Chandalini. Chandalini, you see, creates inner heat. So among Tibetan, you see, there is some sort of the practice during winter, and because of the very cold climate, and the practitioner remain naked, and then on top of that, the
they clad themselves with some materials.
Put in water, cold water, then sort of cover the physical. Then eventually, the language
then steam. They would actually steam.
So over one night, 10, 15 change, such thing. So there is practice, or as a result of practice, some kind of special inner heat. So some occasion, the Harvard University's many years ago, there's one doctor,
Harvard Benson.
You see, he came, Damsala, and carried some sort of experiment, some practitioner. One practitioner, I remember, he not specially sort of, how say they, expertise, just general in the practice, but he meditate on daily basis. So, the Dr. Benson find some special sort of, how say they, energy in that person, in that person's sort of physical level. So, one occasion, that person, he brought to Harvard, Kasoda,
university,
and some, Kasoda, see, very cold room, that monk is remain, let remain, and then, you see, no feeling of cold, because certain sort of practice of inner heat, like that. So, I think through centuries, many Indian practitioners, you see, praising, as you mentioned, Himalaya. Like that. Okay?
Yeah. One more question. The Buddha did not profess religion. How and why did Buddhism become a religion, and what is the purpose of it?
I think Buddha, after he enlightened, three Dharma wheels, we call Dharma wheel, teaching. First, at the Sarnath. Second, Rajagiri. Then third,
Vaishali.
So, I think the first teaching, Dharma teaching at Sarnath, about the Four Noble Truths and the 37 practice. These are common Theravada tradition or Pali tradition and Sanskrit tradition, same. I usually call that foundation of Buddha Dharma, Four Noble Truths or these things. And second Dharma wheel, Dharma teaching at Rajagiri. Then he emphasis the concept of shunyata. Shunyata, not nothingness, but because the things exist due to other factor. So, patit samuppada. Because things are interconnected, things' existence very much depend on other, not by itself. Therefore, nothing independently exists. So that's the meaning of shunyata. So some of his sort of, I think, teaching at second Dharma wheel, he mentioned, "Oh my follower, bhikshus or monks, scholars, should not accept my teaching out of faith, out of devotion, but rather thorough investigation and experiment." So, some people from the West, they describe Buddhism is not religion. Buddhism is science of mind. Some extent, I think that's true. So I usually, you see, explaining Buddha Dharma. Of course, all major world religious tradition teach us practice of love, forgiveness, tolerance, self-discipline. All major religious tradition. So Buddhism also used to teach us the main message is karuna. So same. Now differences in philosophical field. basically, you see, two groups. Religion, which based on faith about Creator, God. There are many Hindus also, you see, believe God. And then Jains and Buddhism, no God, no Creator. So big differences. Within non-theistic religion, Sangya philosophy, Jain philosophy, Buddhist philosophy, see, there are differences. The Sangya philosophy as well as Jain philosophy, you see, have this sort of belief, Atma. Only Buddhism, no Atma, Anatma. So big differences. One occasion, now many years ago, one professor from, I think, one of the Bihar University, eventually he took monastic ordination from me. Wonderful, a professor, wonderful. So then one day, we just casual talk, Buddhism, no Atma, according to Buddhist philosophy, no Atma. Then he actually shivering, oh, there is no Atma. Then I explained the real meaning of anatma does not mean we denying self. Self. Self is there. Buddha himself, self. When you see Buddha, you see, say, no, I mean, concept of selflessness is the self as such, beside this body and mind, some kind of permanent, independent oneness, that kind of self does not exist. So because of that meaning, selflessness or anatma theory. So there are, within sort of non-theistic religion, there are differences. And within Buddhism, Vaibhashik, Sodantik, Chitta Mantra, Madhyamika, differences in theory. So Madhyamika theory, quite now, one, I think this, because of support from scientific finding, quantum physics, is very similar that of Nagarjuna's view, things does not exist as appears. So the Raja Ramana, I think you may have heard, Indian nuclear physicist. His nickname is India's Sakharov, because he one of the scientists to build nuclear weapon. So once he told me, many years ago, once he told me, quantum physics in the world consider something new. In this country, over 2,000 years, that concept already developed in this country. So Madhyamika philosophy, the quantum physics goes,
compatible.
Now modern physicists, modern sort of scientists, see, at least two centuries, mainly, you see, focusing on matter, not mind. So the physicists, the quantum physicists, they say nothing objectively exists. So finally, observer become very important. Now the next question, what is observer? A scientist no answer. Because because of the late 20th century, the science, modern science, not much talk about mind. So many scientists, they believe just a brain. Beside brain, nothing there. So, you see, these days, some scientists, you see, they only sort of think brain, no sort of mind. Now, later part of 20th century, those, as I mentioned earlier, is some meditationer, not physical exercise or something, but through meditation, training of mind, it actually affect their brain. So now, like Richard Devinson, you see, now accept or beside brain, there is something which can affect our brain. So now, the scientist gradually, you see, develop interest about observer. So then, further question, where is observer? Anathema theory now coming. So like that. So therefore, in a way, Buddhism can say philosophy or science of mind, not religion as such, faith. Take it, love someone's way.
No.
That's it, she said. Long chances one.
No.
So many of the scholars from Nalanda, these painting, I composed one praise.
Praise.
17 Nalanda masters. You see, like Nagarjuna and many his follower actually rejected some of Buddha's own teaching. If you accept literally this Buddha's teaching, it goes against reason. Therefore, we must reject. Buddha already gave us liberty to reject his own teaching. So this is quite unique, isn't it?
Yes.
I respect all religion. All religion carry the message of love. Wonderful. But then theoretical viewpoint, philosophical viewpoint, I think Buddha Dharma's theory is more because of the scientific way, as you mentioned. Yes?
I'll ask one more and then maybe others can also.
Yes.
You approach this a little bit, but can you talk a little bit more about it? In today's world full of religious-based conflicts, should we pursue religion or abandon it?
As I mentioned earlier, all major religious traditions carry the same message. If you seriously follow your tradition and sincerely, not just content, visit occasionally a church or because of the mandir, and the daily life, not much sort of, because of the concern, that is the problem. That is the problem. I often used to tell my Indian friend, I think Indian, generally speaking, religious-minded people, nation. I think each family, statue of Shivaji or Saraswati or Ganesh, and each morning, the family member, particularly the lady, pray some flower, some incense. It looks, sometimes I jokingly teasing my friend, each morning is praying in front of God. It looks like the praying to God for please bless us my corrupted life more successful. So, and now these Muslim or Christian, you see, even if it's some Burmese Buddhist, if they seriously follow their own teaching, for example, the Muslim, many of my Muslim friends, they say, you see, the genuine practitioner of Islam, if create, impossible to create bloodshed. Even you see there, one person who belongs to a Muslim community, if that person create bloodshed, no longer genuine Muslim. And the very meaning of jihad is not harming other, but combat within yourself the destructive emotion and positive emotion. Combat. That's the meaning of jihad. And then one Muslim friend told me, the genuine Muslim practitioner must extend love towards entire creature of Allah. Same. Buddhism, all sentient being, mother sentient being, we must extend our love. And Christian practitioner, they say, all the creatures of God. So I think Christian, human being, whole world, actually created by God. Therefore, in that sense, and this very life, no previous life, only this very life created by God. So therefore, you see, that brings some kind of strong feeling, intimacy towards God. So more sort of that feeling, more willingness to follow God's path. Nobody say God is full of anger. God full of love, infinite love. So we are children of such Father. So that philosophical view, very, very powerful to bring conviction about love. And practice love sincerely, then you become happy person, no question. Peaceful person, like that. So each wonderful, if you seriously practice or sincerely sort of follow. So one occasion in Mexico, one was a meeting, some Catholic university. They invited me, and then I talked the local Kasota priest also is in there. Now, I mentioned sometimes it looks religion remain on our dress. So those Christian minister also, you see, some dress, special dress. So religion looks, you see, on the dress. So long the dress there, you see, you acting like holy person. Well, when dress no longer there, then acting something different. So religion must be here, not on dress. Oh. So many the teacher or the priest appreciate or agree. Then next morning, an old bishop or something came to see me. He very much sort of appreciate about my sort of frank expression, like that. So therefore, religion, if whether accept religion or not, up to individual. Once you accept, must be serious. Then religious talk, religious teaching must be part of your life. Then all have same potential. So sometimes I also feel too much sort of killing in the name of religion. And sometimes I think the Pope recently, I saw one news report. His Holiness, you see, Pope, you see, mentioned it is better be non-believer than mischievous Christian. That's very good. Therefore, whether you accept religion or not, up to individual. Once you accept, you should be sincere and serious. So, religious person with the name of religion. So therefore, I often now telling the wording, it's a Muslim terrorist. It is wrong. Terrorist is terrorist. Anyone, you see, once committed terrorist, then no longer Muslim, no longer Buddhist, like Burmese, the terrorists also. It's a few years ago when I was one occasion I was in Washington. So first time I heard the Burma, some Buddhist monk, you see, because of the terrorized order, or some Muslim community there. So at that time, Time magazine, the cover picture, one Buddhist monk, and mentioned Buddhist terrorist. I'm Buddhist. I feel a little uncomfortable. So genuine sorrow, Buddhist never committed such things. So similarly, Muslim, genuine Muslim practitioner, as I mentioned earlier, never committed such things. So some mischievous people, once committed that, you cannot say Muslim terrorist. Like that.
Nakamura-san has done a lot of expeditions in eastern Tibet, 40 expeditions. So we'll ask him to...
Correct. Oh, I see.
Yes, yes.
Right.
For 25 years, I went to Tibet, mainly eastern Tibet and southern Tibet, including Sichuan, Qinghai,
right.
Yunnan, those areas, Tibetan inhabitants are living. So that's a wonderful place. And my journey was to find unclimbed mountains. So I went to the area 40 times, and fortunately I could find over 100 high peaks, unknown high peaks. That's my, pride.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm Tibetan, and particularly I come from Amdo area. So your visit to Tibet, most welcome. Thank you.
Now, His Holiness, sir, I would like to ask you, we have been to Tibet several times, but outwardly everything looks nice and good. So what is the deeper problem in Tibet? Because as a casual visitor, we find
right.
All okay.
There is one Chinese businessman, really, I think more than millennia, I think, he constantly visit Tibet also. No, I think China. He, I think, mainly Taiwan. Then often used to visit China for business. So he also has a number of Chinese leaders he knows. So once he came to see me, and he told me, after he visit Lhasa. So the new buildings or new road and many sort of market, these things, very beautiful, he mentioned to me. Then also he met some Tibetan. So these Tibetan, expressed to him, yes, external material development is very good, but inside always fear and very difficult. And so he mentioned that, his experience, while he expressed that, dear, crying. So that's the situation. Outwardly, things good. And everybody, out of fear, saying some nice things. And I think remote area, if you have opportunity, visit some remote area with some trusted translator, then you will know. And the communist sort of today, I think we are not anti-Han people, also our brothers, sisters. And 7th century, 8th century, at a family level, very close link with Chinese emperor, Tang Dynasty, like that. So the 7th century Tibetan emperor, Sonsa Gambo, married with one Chinese princess. So since then, the family level is a very close link. And then, also you see many, China, historically Buddhist country. So there are many Buddhist sacred sort of area in China. So many Tibetan used to take pilgrimage to China. So, historically, very close. And then, now today, I think a few years ago, perhaps I think 4 or 5 years ago, Beijing University carried survey how many Buddhists in China, about 4 or 5 years ago. So the reports say more than 300 million Buddhist population in China. And then, you see, the people who carry survey, they impressed many of these Buddhist educated people. Now, then since then, a number of occasions, meeting some Chinese, then according to them, nowadays, Buddhist population in China, around 400 million. Many Chinese Buddhists, now they realize Tibetan tradition is the authentic Nalanda tradition. This is, therefore, so many of them are very, very keen to receive teaching from Tibetan scholars. Not necessarily Tibetan lamas or these things, big name. One Tibetan versus a scholar, I think maybe 200 years ago. He quite sort of frankly sort of straightforward. He mentioned Tibetan Lama, long name, but the knowledge short. Whereas Indian masters, name very short, like Nagarjuna or Buddha Parita, or Chandrakirti, Dharmakirti, very short. Their knowledge, very long. I think because Tibetan lamas, you see, of course there are very good lamas also there, but quite often, you see, little sort of, because of the spoiled lama. So drink and wife and the name of tantric practice. So eventually, and the population, uneducated, so the population, you see, people, lama, who have big name or high throne, you see, the people, you see, showing more respect. So therefore, eventually, I think some Catholic monks or visitors, I think maybe last, I think, 4 centuries, happily, one occasion, I had the opportunity to visit one Catholic monastery in Italy. They told me one of their monk visited in, I think, a few centuries ago, like that. So then, eventually, you see, quite some, you see, people visit Tibet. So then they sort of, judging the superficial sort of thing, then they describe Tibetan Buddhism is not genuine Buddhism, but Lamaism. Isn't it? Oh. So because, you see, not like monk in Sri Lanka or Burma or Thailand like that. So therefore, in Ladakh also, you see, some Lama can drink. Like that. So therefore, the new name, Lamaism. Now, last, you see, several years, I always, you see, trying to, Kasoda, explain. Genuine Tibetan Buddhism is entirely based on writing or text wrote by Nalanda Master. We have 300 volumes, Kanjur about 100 volume, and Tenjur means commentary about Buddha's teaching wrote by Nalanda Master, more than 200 volumes. So altogether 300 volumes. These are our text. Good scholars, Tibetan, they quite sort of knowledgeable, these 300 volumes. So, and commentary wrote by Tibetan on these 300 volumes, which come from India mainly. I think about 15, 20 sort of volumes from Chinese. Otherwise, rest of all 300 volumes translated from Sanskrit and some Pali, like that. So commentary, I think around, 30,000 volumes wrote by Tibetan Lama. So these are our text. The genuine Tibetan Buddhist, you see, practice according to these texts. So we are truly a follower of Nalanda tradition. So all Indian tradition, all Nalanda masters, all are Indian, particularly South Indian. North Indian, because of cold climate, yeah. I think brain may be less active. You from South India, North India?
West India, Mumbai.
Bombay. Oh, generally I think belong South India. So all those Nalanda masters come from South India. So they say the land of coconut. So that obviously not Himachal, not Punjab, South India. So usually you see, I sort of teasing some of my Indian friend. This is South Indian brain is something very special. Anyway, now I want to sort of to tell you. Now I have three commitments. Number one commitment is promotion of human value. That is human compassion, karuna. Now scientists also, they say, basic human nature is more compassionate. So that's our hope. Since basic human nature is more compassionate. So I may explain this some more. You know, few occasion, some discussion with scientists. Now, over 30 years, I have serious discussion with scientists, mainly the cosmology, neurobiology, and physics, particularly quantum physics, then psychology. These four fields, I have this very room, several occasion meet discussion with scientists. So these days, I describing myself half Buddhist monk, half scientist. So as a scientist, some of Buddhist writing mentioned about Mount Meru, world flat, and the sun and the moon, you see, more or less same size and same level goes around Mount Meru, Now I publicly reject that. With respect, some of the Nalanda master, like Bosubandhu, is a great sort of master, but he mentioned like that. So that part I cannot accept. I think millions of people, you see, because in aeroplanes, where aeroplanes used to go around the world, of India to Europe, Europe to America, America to Japan, like that. Nobody is seeing Mount Meru. If Mount Meru, I think Ladakhis and many Tibetans, we believe there is Mount Meru. So I offering mandala, Mount Meru. But who really believed that, I think, because of the go by aeroplane, goes, I think we'll never see Mount Meru. So like that. So therefore, some occasion, now scientists, some scientists say, I also, in that meeting, I also there. So one, what is the Kasari meeting? One cartoon to show one 5-6 month old infant child. Language not yet developed. So very difficult to influence from outside. I think very nature of human being, very sort of fresh or very alive. So that child showing one cartoon to young children, one children try to pushing one ball on upward. Another child helping and very friendly attitude. But that cartoon seeing by that infant child smiling. So express sort of vasude, because joyful, enjoy that sort of seeing. Then next, another cartoon, two children, one children pushing the ball upward, then another child, kasoda, create obstacle, or negative face. So when you see that cartoon picture seen by that infant child, the child itself, unhappy, expression of unhappiness. And then more important, constant anger, constant, hatred, fear, very bad for our health. Actually, these experience eating our immune system. Other hand, more compassionate mind, the immune system, in some cases, even increasing. So therefore, they concluded basic human nature is more compassionate. So now the problem is existing education. Now education system is very much oriented material value. Not talking about inner value. So now, because of the day after tomorrow, no, 27th, we're going to have one meeting, mainly some Indian, or such with Tata.
Tata Institute of Social Science and Research from Bombay.
So they already carry some research work, how to introduce a curriculum mentioning about secular ethics without any mentioning any religious belief, simply the sort of our common sense and sort of common experience and scientific findings, which can fit in secular education field. So now, next 2 days, we're going to discuss. Then, eventually, I think after a few months, I want to have, because of the almost like international sort of conference. I think many scholars, many scientists agree existing education system not adequate, you see, to build inner value, without touching religion. So the problem, modern education started about, I think, 200 years, mainly from West. Then, you see, moral things or inner value is concerned, totally relying on religion. So at that time, maybe adequate. Inner value is concerned, religion take full responsibility. Then, with more industrialized sort of, because of industrializing, so the knowledge about these things are very necessary. So education, newly developed education system, mainly, you see, oriented about these values. That's understandable. Now time come. The materialistic oriented sort of education brings whole generation. They are sort of always talking about external things. Not much talking about inner sort of value. So therefore, I think a lot of crisis on this planet now because of lack of moral principle, mainly lack of compassion, which is based on sense of oneness of 7 billion human beings, as I mentioned earlier, oneness. Due to lacking that, and that too much emphasis, my nation, in India, the caste system, I think very bad. I always telling the Indian spiritual leaders now should take more active role. The caste system, I think some influence from the feudal system. Landlord, in order to exploit, you see, working class people or farmers, because of the caste system, I think develop. The landlord have something special right. Caste system. Now time come, must change that. We are same. India's constitution, wonderful, but still not sufficient to real change on Kasoda, public level, particularly rural area. So now religious leader should speak more. Even if you believe God, creator. The creator, you see, all caste people, same source, God. So no problem. Number one, my commitment is promotion of human value, human compassion. Based on scientific finding, then our common experience, we all come from our mother. We all experience parents' sort of tremendous sort of affection, particularly our mother. I always telling my first guru about Karuna is my mother. Really, my mother is so kind to me. So, in some extent, I spoiled some child. So, as a villager, there's no toys, nothing. So, my mother always carry me on mother's shoulder. When mother milking animal or some work in farming, she always carry me. So I also find very comfortable on mother's shoulder, sit like that. So eventually I become bold and hold my mother's ear. And then I want to go this side. I control my mother's movement and this side like that. If mother not follow my wish, and then crying, shouting. So really, the seed of compassion here. First, I learned from my mother. Then, of course, later, these Nalanda masters. So teaching about mind, about emotion, and how to tackle emotion. That, then on the basis of a certain experience which I learned from my mother as a sort of kasurde, good soil. Then all these Nalanda masters teaching, then really absorb like that. So this is my number one commitment. Irrespective of whether believer or non-believer, we are human beings. We need compassion. So the compassion, the way promote is a secular way, not based on religion. Because as today, about the 7 billion human beings, over 1 billion non-believer. So these also human brothers, sisters, we must have sort of method to reach this non-believer. If you talk God, Buddha will not reach these people. So entirely secular way. So this is my number one commitment. Number two commitment, I am Buddhist and I spent now most part of my life in this country. I really impressed this country, all different religious traditions can live together. I think around 3,000 years, different religious sort of tradition already started in this country. I think firstly, Sanctism, then Jainism, then Buddhism. So different philosophical views there, different religion, this homegrown. Then from outside, Zoroastrianism, from ancient Parsi. Now today, very small population in Bombay, less than 100,000, but very peaceful, no fear, you know. And the Tata also come from that community. And because of Manikshu also from Parsi community. So very small community, but no fear. In Bombay, among millions of Hindus, millions of Christian, Muslim, this small number of people who follow Zoroastrianism, very peaceful. So that's true, I think, I feel, that's the true India. That's the symbol of India. So eventually, Judaism come, and Islam come, because a Christian come. So today, I think all major world religious tradition now very well settled in this country. Occasionally some problem here and there. That's understandable. Over a billion Indian human being, not God. So some mischievous people must be there. So that's understandable. Overall, I think religious harmony is, I usually telling people, India is the example. All major different religious traditions can live together. No problem. And Guru Nanak, Hindu background, but he took pilgrimage to Mecca in order to strengthening the religious harmony. Wonderful. So India, only I think this country can combine modern education, modern technology, modern facility, plus inner value, which come from ancient Indian knowledge. So that's, I think, obviously, the Indian tradition, all Indian sort of religious tradition, including practice of shamatha and vipassana. So those sort of religious tradition, which include practice of shamatha and vipassana, they automatically, you see, come explanation about mind, how to tackle our mind, how to tackle our destructive emotion. So ancient Indian psychology is highly developed. So as I mentioned earlier, you see, meeting, discussion with scientists, then psychology is concerned. The modern psychology, I publicly also, sometimes I express the modern psychology, judging, you see, those scholars about psychology, you see, their knowledge about mind is looks like a kindergarten level. India, highly, Indian psychology, highly developed. But unfortunately, now modern Indian negligent about these things. Sometimes I jokingly is telling Indian, traditionally, you Indian, our guru. We are chela. We learned from our guru, Indian guru. So over 1,000 years, we kept, you see, this knowledge. So I describe, we not only chela of Indian teacher, but also we are quite reliable chela. over 1,000 years, we kept all this knowledge. So as a result, maybe I think unfortunate, now chela of ancient Indian master now seems become guru. Ancient guru now become chela. So in any way, so another my commitment is now reviving of ancient Indian knowledge in this country. All this knowledge is your knowledge. This ancient Indian knowledge, not only ancient knowledge, but also relevant to today's world. I think today, a lot of problem ultimately start from here. Recent weeks, really dangerous situation. North Korea and these things. All this ultimately here. Lack of sense of compassion, sense of responsibility, universal responsibility. Think just me, we. And with that feeling, no hesitate to destroy other. So that's such is the problem. So only through systematic sort of program to educate younger generation, then we are at the beginning of 21st century. So if we plan properly and carry education accordingly, then I think after 2 decades. Or 3 decades, another generation who come through that kind of education can be more peaceful. Peaceful businessmen, women, peaceful politician, or peaceful sort of or say, economist or everything. Then I think our world can be more peaceful. More compassionate world. It is possible through education, not through prayer. I'm Buddhist. I pray to Buddha. Before Chinese sort of Chinese came, we pray too much to Buddha. Nothing happened. So one occasion in Patna, the chief minister, the present chief minister, wonderful person, he built on. Or Buddhist Vihara, one Buddhist statue also. So he invited me to open ceremony. He invited me. I went there, and in his speech, you see, he mentioned due to Buddha's blessing, his state, Bihar state, more was it, rapidly prosperity. He mentioned that. Then my turn. Then I told, if Buddha's blessing help more prosperity your state, then your state must be much more earlier prosperity, because Buddha's blessing over 2,000 years already there.
Yeah, yeah.
So that I told, that Buddha's blessing must go through able chief minister's hand. So that means work. Without work, oh, pray to Buddha. So therefore, I think Buddha already sort of made crunch hard to
Buddha himself has actually made it clear.
Oh, he made, you are your own master. Everything depends on yourself. So if Buddha, Kasutta told us he created, then why is Buddha created this miserable world? Of course, I respect all religion. I really respect. In philosophical field, yes, we disagree. But it doesn't matter. The real sort of message is wonderful, same. However, in the philosophical view, one of my friend, one Indian, he genuinely believed God. So then he told me, he asked me, he said, God, full of compassion, full of love, why among his creation, among humanity, many bad people there, many troublemakers there, why God creates that? He asked me. I difficult to answer. But then told him, half joke, oh, since God graciously created hell, so there must be someone who ready to go to hell. Otherwise, no meaning, creation of hell. Like that. Sometimes you see, if you logically, you see, analyze, then there's some contradictions there. So among the Buddha's own teaching, some contradictory. Therefore, you see, Buddha, taught using different sort of philosophical views according to the people or his follower, among his follower, different mental disposition. Try that. Next question.
We live in the world full of conflict, anger, depression, many other feelings which are negative. In this, all this reference, what is the true meaning of inner peace?
Inner peace, I believe, the sense of oneness of humanity. Whenever I talk, I always start brothers, sisters. I never mention some sort of or their ranks or titles like that. Then I always mentioning why I use the word brothers, sisters. That's something very important. I myself never consider I'm Tibetan, I'm Buddhist, I'm Dalai Lama. I never consider that. If I too much concern, emphasis, I'm Tibetan, I'm Buddhist, I'm Dalai Lama. I sort of telling people, if I too much concern about Dalai Lama, then among the 7 billion human beings, only one Dalai Lama. So then I feel lonely. Isn't it? I consider myself as another human being. Then 7 billion human beings are my brothers, sisters. I really feel much happier. That automatically reduces the sense of self-centered attitude. The source of fear is too much emphasis on self, self-centered. So the way to reduce that, think other as our brothers, sisters. Not talking about next life, not talking about heaven or God. Simply, dangerous life. Even you, we can learn dogs, some other animals, who, you see, have more sort of open-minded and easily sort of live with other dogs, then much more peaceful. Some dogs are always barking, other dogs, then it becomes lonely. We can learn from them. And even animal very much appreciate our love, our compassion, our affection. A dog, a cat, if we sincerely showing them our love, our affection, they appreciate our licking. And the cat, go like that. Very beautiful. Without sincere sort of affection, just feeding, they're not much appreciate. Isn't it? There's some dogs or some cats, when you're feeding, yes, they enjoy the food. And no longer any sort of any sort of sign of affection. If you show them our affection, our love, they very much appreciate. Only problem is mosquito. I often ask, you see, people, one occasion in Oxford, you see, in the front line, many Oxford sort of scholars. So I asked them, which size of brain have the ability to create appreciation? So I told them, my question is, mosquito, when my mood good and it is quite sure no malaria, danger of malaria, then I give some blood to some mosquito. They suck my blood and their physical become fat and red. Then finally some drops come or no sign of appreciation. Dogs, birds, if you treat them sincerely, sincerely, they appreciate. So, what level of brain have the ability to show appreciation? So, many occasions I ask this question. Nobody, so far, nobody answered that. So, the key thing is, since we are a social animal, individuals' life, individuals exist entirely depend on the rest of the community. So, that source of our happiness. So, self-centered attitude is just contradictory to that reality. So, show them our affection. Share all our experience with them. Then you get more inner peace. If you are sincere and you also develop the self-confidence, all your works carried with sincere motivation, truthful, then you get inner strength. And you can carry your life transparently. That brings trust. That brings friendship. Social animal, we need friend. Isn't it? So, now 11:30. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I think these talks is related with the inner clean environment. We talk, you see, the environment about Himalayan, important. Equally important, clean,
internal,
inner environment. That's very important. So now, the other day, I was Kasa Juti, Kasa, Hindu Lama Kasa.
Garshnis.
Ka.
Swamiji.
No, Swamiji. Garshnis. Same? Yes. The One Swamiji.
From Mathura, Swami Karshni.
Since many years, we a very close friend. So recently I was there. So I told at a meeting. So I used to describe him, my elder brother. Looks older than me. So then he made correction. He's younger than me. Then I told, yes, age, I'm older. Age-wise, I'm older. Now 82. He, I think, is 70 or something. So his appearances looks he more older than me. So judging appearances, I describe him elder brother. Then, half joke, I'm mentioning, face appearance is concerned, my face is more handsome.